Lord God, Father, I just come to you right now, Lord, and I just praise you, Father, that things could have been so much worse, Lord. During these times, Father, it's just really awesome to see how everyone can pull together and how our faith can just deepen and we can just cry out to you as a group, Lord. Help us to be like that all the time, Lord God. But even when we go through those times, Father, I know I had people praying for me, Lord, that maybe it wouldn't be calling out to you, Father. So I praise you for that, and I just pray that we can use that as a time for them to learn about you, Father, because we can give you all the credit, Father. We pray for those right now, Lord, that are cleaning up after the storm, after this hurricane, Lord. We pray for patience on everyone's part, Father, but for them to even just have joy through the situation of just having their lives and being able to breathe again and just be able to worship you, Father.
Beautiful you are, and how great your affections are.
Father, I do just pray, Lord, that we do understand how much you love us, Father. And how it's nothing that we can do to be forgiven except accept your love, Lord. Father, for those here that are holding on to all of the things that they've ever done wrong and they can't get past it, Father, I pray that you show them freedom. Show them they don't have to be attached to their old selves anymore, Father, but they can be created new. I know for so many years I held on to that, and I thought I'm never going to be good enough. And I was right. I myself cannot be. But, Father, you can wipe my slate clean, and you can make us a new creation, Father. Help us to be so free, Father. Help us to let go of everything, Lord, and accept your gift.
Your breath.
pray that we are the same here and no matter where we are, Father. I pray that your praise will be on our lips, Father, no matter who we're in front of. Father, if we're teenagers and we're in front of our friends at school, Lord God, help us to be that standard. If we're at work and we get frustrated or something horrible goes wrong, Father, help us to be that standard. Help us to want to be like Jesus and shine a light, Father. Help us not to be hypocrites, Lord. When someone cuts us off in traffic, I know sometimes I get a little attitude. My kids can testify that. But Father, I pray, Lord, that you help us to be overcomers of our flesh, Father, and just be your children.
It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out.
Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations.
Our own. Your name.
Ago, that we can just understand that the Lord forgives us. He wipes everything away. If we go around carrying all of the junk that we don't want to let go of because we think we're not worthy, then we're just going to keep making bad decisions. We're going to keep holding on to that guilt. And I can testify that, it doesn't work. It's like putting oil and vinegar together, you know. So, Lord, Father, I pray that we don't just sing these songs, Lord, that we truly understand, Father, that we need your forgiveness. We have to recognize what is sin and what isn't sin. And Father, once you put that on our heart, Father, help us not to feel condemned, but help us to feel conviction that we know something's not right. And Father, then we ask you to guide us and show us how to move away from that sin, Father. And Lord, I know you don't expect us to be perfect right away, Father. You expect us to listen and to try. Lord, and you're going to guide us. You're the one that's going to carry us. We just have to be willing, Father. I pray, Father, for our hearts right now, Lord, just to be completely willing to follow you and to let go of any of those sinful things that we used to love to do, Father, that held us in chains and didn't give us freedom at all.
All about you.
into my heart. You're looking into my heart. You're looking into my heart. You're looking into my heart.
Lord God, you know what's in our hearts, Father. We can come here and we can try to seem like we're incredibly spiritual. Lord, we can pretend like we have it all together. We can look really nice and dress up wonderfully, Lord. But you know our heart, Father. I pray, Father, that our hearts match your Holy Spirit, Father. I pray that we don't come here as a wolf in sheep's clothing, Lord. I pray that we come here as sons and daughters, as overcomers, Lord God, not prideful, but just wanting to grow in your family, Father. I pray that we can help others, Lord God, not make others stumble, Father. Help us to be above reproach, Father. Not perfect, but trying, Lord. And when times get tough, Father, help us to not give up. Remind us of all those times that you've hold us out of whatever situation that we were in, Father, and help us to look forward to those times, Lord, when we can get deeper in you, Father.
So glad you guys are all here. Amen?
Amen.
All right. There's a couple things I want to go over, then I want to talk about that for a second. So just a couple things so I don't forget. I don't remember what's on the slide. So give me 1 minute, and we'll zip through these slides as long as this thing is on okay. Tithes and offerings, you know, we receive those in the back. If anybody's interested in starting a ministry or looking to help people, just call us. Talk to me. God bless you. Just talk to me or Uncle Tom or Gary, and we'd be happy to support you, encourage you, and help. The training class that we're having on QuickBooks with Mary Foreman, obviously hurricane delayed, so that will be in Saturday this upcoming. I don't know exactly when. But that's coming up, so for those of you who signed up for that. Again, some things that are coming up, if anyone's interested, Dr. David Jeremiah, I've met him, I've talked to him, he's a great guy, loves the Lord. October 3rd, he's coming to the USF Sundome. It's free, and it starts from 7 p.m. till about whenever. And if you want to go for that, you can go to thejoyfm.com to events to sign up for that. Also, Chris Tomlin, the Good Father tour is November 4th at the USF Sundome. Tickets are $25, up to $75 if you want to be like right in front. So also at joyfm.com. And then also on October 4th, here at the Brayton Convention Center in Palmetto, is the Matthew West tour. And so that's at 7 p.m. So if you guys are interested in that, tickets are $25. And you guys know we have a loaner library back there, all that stuff, sermons online, you guys all know that. Prayer meeting here at 9 or 9:30, you're at the church, you want to be praying for the community. We have Bible study this week, men's Bible study, and we're going through 2 Samuel on the life of David Tuesday here. Is that correct, Gary? And anything you want to say about that?
No.
Okay. Wow. Okay, just make sure you get here. Okay, fantastic. And so that'll be Tuesday, the other men's Bible study. You can talk to Gary about that for Monday if you guys are interested in that. Also, the Transformers. Bible study. We're meeting every week now. We wanted to meet every week from 6:30 to 8:30 here at Home Fellowship Church. And I just want to say just how proud I am of you guys. You guys all went out and to our neighbors over there on that side. I don't even know the name. But anyway, they're over there, and they were just so blown away. We had about, I don't know, 15 of us working for about 2 hours. Hauling branches. They had so many branches down and trees. And we got in the horse stalls, and I mean, we had just, they could not believe how much work that you guys all did. They were so blown away by it, and we all got to pray for them, and they were just so shocked. Yeah. What a way to reach out to the community. It was a beautiful thing. They were blown away by it. And they just said they were so wonderful. They're just like, yeah, they were wonderful people. And yeah, the church we go to is kind of like a waiting room for heaven. And we see all the youth here working so hard. And then we see all the kids at the school. And she's like, I just love hearing all those kids every day. There sounds like they're having so much fun over there. And then, yeah, they are. It's like, it's just beautiful. And thank you so much. And it was just really a wonderful thing. So thank you guys for doing that. This week, the youth just come dressed. The next couple weeks, we're going to be helping those in the body. So this week, Josh, we're helping
Miss Sue.
Thank you. Sue Berger and Connie. And so we're going to be going over to their house and working at their property. They've got tons of trees and stuff like that. So come grungy. I'm ready to work. And then the week after that, we are helping Jim. And if you would please pray for him. He gave a really, I don't know, last week he actually stood up in the middle of service, gave a testimony, started singing. It was amazing. It was wonderful. And God said that, I mean, people said that God really used that to prepare their hearts for the hurricane. Anyway, he's feeling ill. So if you pray for him, he's got tons of trees down and tree limbs. So we're going to do that the Wednesday after that. And then we'll get back into Bible study, and we're going to be probably doing a series on...
Teen suicide, I believe.
Yeah, on suicide. It's going to be a 4-week study on suicide. And that's prevalent up through the 20s. It's the number one cause of death. So, anyway, just want to let you know about that. Also, barbecue and Bible study night. I just want to say this is not a guilt thing if you didn't come. We're not that kind of a church. But I do want to say, last Thursday's testimony night, it was supposed to be prayer testimony. We didn't even get to the prayer part this time. It was just testimony. It was, at 9 o'clock, there were still people here. I was, we got to go. And it was just 2 or 3 hours of just people sharing what God did during the hurricane, how God changed their hearts and what they saw, his power, and how they changed them. It was an amazing thing. I don't know if I've ever been more encouraged on a Thursday night to hear all that. It was nonstop, about 20 people. It was absolutely beautiful. And the school, we've got so much to be thankful for that the school is still here. You know, in all honesty, you know, we have that portable back there. And that little gazebo, that's not even supposed to handle 50-mile-an-hour winds. So I thought, it's all going to be gone. You know, I'm thinking that building's going to be gone. Portable for sure. I'm thinking negative about it. The gazebo, I'm thinking the building's probably going to be gone too. Lord, whatever. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he told me this specifically. I don't know. He spoke different things to you guys probably, but he said, even before when they were doing the media, this is going to be a Cat 6. He told me, I want you to stay. And I was like, what? He's like, yes, I want you to stay, and I want you to help as many families as possible. And I was like, okay, so I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, I'm probably going to die, Lord, but I'll be up with you. I'll do it. Thank you, Lord. Of course, you know. But he spoke that to my heart, and he worked it all out so beautifully. We have so much to be thankful for. The people who were staying, we have some people staying with us at our house, and we'll talk about bringing us together. I shared this on Tuesday night, but we had Heidi and Joel. We have a second story roof that's like slanted like this. And by the end of the second day, I couldn't get the plywood. I couldn't drill into the block. I was so tired by the end of the day. So there's Joel and Heidi. And they said, can they help? And again, I thought they were going to hand me tools, you know. So I get out on the roof, and bless their hearts, there's Joel. I was so desperate at that time. I was exhausted, and Daryl was over there for so long helping, and Dave. So Heidi starts to climb out the window. I was like, what are you doing? I said, no, Heidi, no. She's like, I can help. I said, no, I want to be a help. I'm like, so I pushed rebuked her like four times, and then she came out anyway. So she's out there helping, Joel's helping, and I drop the drill bit, or we drop the drill bit, and Heidi's like, I'll get it, and Spider crawls down the roof. I'm like, Heidi, no! And the last part I couldn't get, and Joel's in there helping me drill it in. But man, it just brought us together. We had such, I hate to say it, like, we had such an amazing time. You know, the people that were over at our house, and then the people here shared with us that this place was like a fortress. Folks helped board up this place, and they said they couldn't even tell the storm was going on. It was like God's hand was just like completely around this property. Trees were going down, this and that. But in here, they didn't even lose power here. Isn't that incredible? I know some of us here don't even have power yet. Didn't even lose power here.
No, I'm sorry. We watched Netflix, ate shrimp.
Still
Netflix.
Movie night.
My place didn't lose power at all. My home didn't get damaged. Nothing.
It's
now amazing. I live in a mobile home. Nothing got damaged.
It's amazing, you know, and some of our places did have stuff. I know Mike and Shirley, we need to pray for them too, because I know part of the roof got off, ripped off of their place. And so, and I know a lot of people have been helping clean up debris, but, you know, somebody, and then one of the young people, they're young to me, anyway, said that the Lord had spoken to them that God was just going to not let anything happen to this property. And I was like, man, I wish you would have told me that before. That God spoke to them so clearly that nothing was going to happen. Not even that. So even the gazebo survived. There's not a scratch. And I just want to say one more thing. I'm sorry, I know I'm taking a lot of time here. But we had about 25 people out here from the church and the school helping to clean up this property. Thank you so much for that. If you're part of that, thank you. Honestly, God bless you guys. And on top of that, so then we sent neighbors to the other side, right? We sent neighbors to the other side, and they were blown away that we were helping. They're like, you guys would do that? I said, yeah, it started off with a couple teens and a couple more, and then about 15 of us went over there. And it was such an amazing thing, and they just shared the same thing. They said, you know what? I guess since we've been putting the speakers in, they said, you know what? We listen. The wonderful family over there, they said, the husband came out and said, we've been listening to your worship when you guys worship on Sundays. My husband came out, he listened, and then he went in and got the wife, if I understood it correctly, and then she came out and she listens. He goes, and we listen to your worship, you know, each week. That's what the person said. They said, well, you've been listening from the outside. And she goes, it's so beautiful. And we've been just ministered to it. And so the other person said, well, you've been listening from the outside. Just come on in. And so pray for them that they would come out, but they were so grateful. And I know so many people have been helping people around here. Thank you for that. If you guys, I'm going to get to that in a second, but if you guys want to help or if you need help, we've got cases of bottled water here. See Uncle Tom. You can take it home free in Jesus' name. Uncle Tom, can you raise your paw for a second? Back, way back in the back corner. We'll give them to you free in Jesus' name. If you need food or meals, let us know. We've got meals going out to different folks within the body and even outside the body from some wonderful people. We've had folks cutting down tree limbs for other people. And in this body, all this has been going on all week. People are exhausted. Families have been helping. You know, Betty and Daryl, you've been amazing. Nathan and the Weaver family and the Lotarios. There's so many I'm going to forget, so I don't want to name. There's so many. But if you need yard debris cleaned up and you just can't do it, it's too much for you, or you need a place to stay even, we even got folks that are willing to let you come in and shower and get a hot meal or even stay with them in their house. We have a camper for you with a generator. So if something has happened to your house, we haven't communicated with everybody, so if you're new here and you need that, we'll even provide that for you in Jesus' name. We want to be a blessing and want to help you.
Do you still have batteries?
And that's not all, Jen. Will you mention that?
I will.
there's some batteries and some chargers for people that are still without power. And if you're without power and you know you don't need any of those things, think about your neighbors and just give them to them in Jesus' name. Somebody needs them. You know, God has provided them, and we need to find them the right home.
Yes. And so, yes, there are four times extra chargers, so they're all up here. Don't just take them because you want them, but take them if you need them, and take them to give them to folks who are in need.
Yeah,
we want you to do that. They're free in Jesus' name to do that.
I need somebody.
Okay, so if you need help, let us know, or if you want help,
if
let
he
us
runs
know.
Out, I we'll have another one in my car.
Yes, Betty.
He's stood up. He's got two
we got a list no together at where I work at of everybody
no
that needs help.
Nothing.
The elderly. And we got word the other day that my Yakka is still totally out. Over 90% of the city is out. They're throwing food out of the freezer because it's rotting. We are trying to get together and get water to them. Canned goods, rice, beans, stuff like that. Because some of them still have gas. They have their grills. But they've lost a lot of food. And these are people that, you know, they're on a one-check income a month and can't afford to replenish their food right now.
Well, if anybody wants to help with that as well, please see Betty. And Betty, if there are any cases of water that are left over here, take them all. You're welcome. In Jesus' name. And so if you want to help with that too, please see Betty, and we'll try to help them as well. But we'll try to get to you as soon as we can. There's a lot of folks that we're trying to get to. And, also, I don't know if you guys saw this, and I don't know if this was doctored up, but two things. Somebody showed me this, and it could have been so much worse, couldn't it? This was from ABC Action Weather Station in Tampa, said Dennis Phillips just said, and quoted, "There is no way to explain how the storm has diminished so quickly, except that a lot of prayers have gone up. 24 hours ago, we were looking at the worst storm in history. Now it is lessening, and the eye has collapsed. We are in a much better position. God has heard the prayers of his people across the nation." That's a newscaster on ABC. Isn't that amazing? Not only that, somebody sent me this, and again, I didn't have time to check it out, but I don't know if you can see this. This was as it was collapsing, as the eye of the storm was collapsing. You see this?
Yeah.
Heart around Sarasota, Manatee County. Now listen, I understand a lot of people have had damage, but it could have been so much worse if we got hit with a Cat 5, probably beyond what we can even understand. And so we have so much to be thankful for. God is so merciful, even with the damage that we do have, and I have damage, and I'm sure you do too. We are blessed people. Now, let me ask you a quick question. If we did get hit with the full hurricane, does God still love us?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, let's get back to our book. We just finished Jonah, and now we're going into the book of Colossians. So Chris, would you mind handing out some Bibles? If you need a Bible, raise your hand. We are in the book of Colossians. We started it 2 weeks ago, and we spent an hour in the first five verses. So I'm not going to do that again. I'll spend a minute or two recapping. I told you guys I was a superhero, a fan, and I've got comic books on the walls from the 60s and all that. And we love The Flash, and we love Superman and all that kind of stuff. But as a Christian, you know, sometimes I don't feel like such a super powerful guy. You know, I don't feel like, hey, it's Jared, it's Superman. I know, right? Yes, like a super loser sometimes. Thanks for bringing that up. Anyway, what are you saying? I can cut myself down perfectly with that without you. Anyway.
Daredevil.
But this. Yes, sure. Talk to the head now. Anyway. So this is kind of more what I feel like, instead of these guys, you know, as super Christians sometimes, I feel more like, as you guys probably saw, this guy. And if you've been around for a while, you know who this is. This is the greatest American hero, if you remember him. He was the biggest bungling goofball of a hero. He'd fly into walls, and he'd just say the stupidest stuff. He didn't know how to use his powers right. He'd just mess up all the time. That's how I feel a lot of the time. I feel like him. Christ Jesus. I'm not relying on his heart, his word, his Holy Spirit to renew me, to invigorate me. And so as we go into Colossians, I'm seeing, you know so many people floundering these days because they're not plugging into the power source, which is the Lord. This was in Acts 4:13 when the Pharisees and the leaders of the Jews were talking to the disciples, and these guys are the smartest men in the whole nation, the most religious men in the whole nation. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. That joke worked better the first time. And they realized that these guys had been with Jesus. You see, that's what's going to make a difference in your life. When you spend time with Jesus, when you sit at his feet, when you take his word into your heart, not just your mind, when you let that wash over you and in you and through you, then people will notice something is different about you. What's different about the way you walk? It's different about the way you talk. What's different about how you react to people? You should be so freaked out right now, you know? And why aren't you more freaked out about? Why are you worried about helping people right now? No, because that's what Jesus is. You know, they've been with Jesus. You know, somebody sent me this, and I showed it a couple weeks ago, but, you know, I love this, and I doctored it up a little bit. But he has all the superheroes around, and of course, and he's explaining to them, and that's how I really saved the world. John 3:16-17. You know, those superheroes are fake. My Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Do you know him? Do you know him personally? Do you just know about him, right? Or do you know him? Because if you know him, then things are going to change in your heart and your life. Now, it might be, sometimes we walk with Jesus, right? It might be 3 steps forward and then a couple right back again, right? You know, sometimes it happens, but there's going to be that change as we trust in him, as we trust by faith in his word. And Colossians is a book about still standing. And right now, everybody's thousands falling. Psalm 91. Thank you. Thousands are falling at our right hand and 10,000 at our left and vice versa. But thousands and 10,000s are falling, prey to the world, to the enemy. But only those ones that are plugged into the Lord, whose roots are going down deep, are going to stand. Jeremiah 17, blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. Listen, one thing this hurricane has taught me, right? If you relied on your nice home, if you relied on your bank account, if you relied on your job that was so secure, if you relied on that check, if you relied on that relationship, a lot of that just disappeared, didn't it? You know what you had when you boil it all down, when this storm was coming our way? You had yourself and the Lord. For a lot of us, that's really what was spoken. And he's going to be what keeps you standing. Those ones that have made the Lord their confidence, they're like trees planted by the riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. They're not bothered by the heat or worried by months of drought. Their leaves are green, and they go right on producing fruit. That's our God. All right. So let's skip that. Let me put my Bible open. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Okay, well, I'm getting my Bible out to Colossians. Wherever the mic is, would somebody mind reading the first 5 verses of Colossians? And while I'm getting there, does anybody mind reading that? Raise your hand if you don't mind reading. Okay, somebody bring a...
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to Timothy, our brother, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We give thanks to God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel.
Paul is starting in verse 1 again. He's just starting, he's saying, I'm an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, not by his choice, but God chose him to do that. And Timothy, our brother, to the holy, to the saints and faithful brothers who are in the city of Colossae. And saints aren't those on the dashboard or those who've done special miracles. Saints are those who've been born again of the Spirit of God. The word in Greek is hagios, and that just means those who've been born again, given their life to him. And he's speaking to them at the church at Colossae. And I showed you about this. I showed you Colossae, just for those of you guys who weren't here that first time when we were doing around hurricane season. There was a little triangle of... let's get this in Christ, that's a lot. Boy, this was so great. I wish you guys... If you didn't hear it, go back and listen to this CD or listen to it online at homefellowship.com. Okay, so this... Colossae was part of a triangle of cities here by Ephesus, okay? Hierapolis, Laodicea, and Colossae. Well, I'm a guy who likes to find out if stuff is true. I like to make sure. So I want to know, do these places actually exist? And, of course, here's Laodicea. The ruins are still there, colonnaded streets in Laodicea. It's modern-day Turkey today. So this is, he's writing to, Colossae was a part of those three cities, and, it was kind of the lesser of the three cities. It was destroyed by an earthquake later, but here's Hierapolis. This was a big mound of dirt. And they dug it all up, and they're starting to dig there. This is an amphitheater there. They dug it up. And this is Colossae. They haven't got to it yet. Oh, sorry. This is the tells at Colossae. Colossae, they'll dig all those up. And but historically, it's said that that city perished not too long in the AD 60s, maybe AD 60, 65. A short time after this epistle, Eusebius and Tacitus say this, historians, and that this place was destroyed and covered by an earthquake. And so they still have to dig that up, but it does exist to this day. So Paul's saying, grace and peace to you. He goes on and he's saying, and thanking God the Father. He's never even met them, but he's praying for them. And he's heard of their faith and their love. And we talked a little bit about those things. I won't get into that, but we talked a little bit about grace always comes before peace. If you want peace in your life, you have to receive the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's skip all this real quickly. Thank you. We talked about the three, faith, hope, and love. We have this hope in the Bible. Hope isn't wishful thinking. It's called Elpis, and it means confident, assured, confident assurance. So it says we have this confidence assurance as an anchor for our soul. All right, that's what we left out. Okay. All right, so now we are in verse 6. It's talking about the word of truth that has come to you. And then it goes on in verse 6. It says, all over the world, this gospel has been bearing fruit and growing as it has been amongst you since the days you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. So, here's what he's saying. He's writing to this church of new believers, right? And he's saying, man, he has never even been there. He's writing this letter to them in prison. And he's writing to them, and he's saying, man, I'm hearing that the gospel is going on without me. I'm in prison right now, and the gospel is spreading. The good news of Jesus Christ is going all over the world. And it's bearing fruit. What does that mean? Can somebody tell me what does that mean? He's saying the gospel, I've heard, the gospel is bearing fruit in your lives. What does that mean, bearing fruit in a person's life? Good things are happening. Good things are happening, but what could that mean? Hey, I'm going to go to a movie. Good things are happening. What does that mean? The fruit of the Spirit? Okay. What does that mean, Gloria? Yes. Fruit of the Spirit? Yes.
Producing godliness.
Producing godliness.
Evidence of
what now?
Evidence
of what?
God working through your life.
Yes, good. Evidence of God working through your life. See, wherever the gospel goes, okay, you're going to see a changed life. You're going to start to have, and I've seen people change like that. I crack addict, no crack addict. I've seen drunkard, no drunkard. I've seen porn addict, no porn. And I've seen folks that God has slowly taken that stuff away from them as they surrender this, as they surrender that. I've seen both. But there's always growth and there's always change. And they bear fruit. And fruit is something that you can
see.
Right? It's an evidence. Right? Yes,
Gary. It also feeds the people that see the fruit.
What does that mean?
Well, the Lord can use the fruit in our lives to feed others and bring them to Him.
That's good. It nourishes them. That you can see it. So there's going to be evidence. Brittany?
My Bible says that the first creating effect of the gospel preaching and the growth of the church.
That's exactly right. It's talking about the effects of the gospel in a life. Listen, anybody, you're going to see tons of people, especially if you're new to the faith, that can talk about being a Christian, but you're going to see evidences of that. You're going to see them draw near to God's people. You're going to see them wanting to draw near to His Word. You're going to see them wanting to hide that Word in their hearts, not just in their melons, right? Anybody can do that. You're going to see a change in a heart and a life. You're going to see the fruit coming, right? If you go to Mixon Farms, does anybody have to look at those orchards that they have there and think, hey, I wonder if those are strawberry trees? Anybody think that? No, you don't, because you see a big orange, you know, oranges on them. You know what it is. And so he's saying, I see that fruit in you. Listen, and here's what the Word says. This is John 15, 16. God's saying, hey, you didn't choose me. I chose you. God is saying, I appointed you, Caleb, to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last for the kingdom. That is so cool. And what is that fruit? That is the fruit of God's Holy Spirit in a life. Okay? Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says this. But when the Holy Spirit fills our lives, when you let Him control your life, right? Because sometimes, let's be honest, don't we fight Him on stuff? We don't want to, but we get weak, right? We fight Him. I don't want to be humble, Lord. You know, I don't want to let go of my anger. I want that bitterness. It's a comfort to me. When it's really keeping you in prison. I'm never going to forgive them. God wants to be free from that. He says, but when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, this is the key here, He will produce this kind of fruit in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That is what the Holy Spirit produces in our life. Do you ever see an orange tree trying to produce fruit this way? No. What happens
is... How
was that? Don't make me do that again. What you see is that fruit tree just grows, right? As it's fed, right? Slowly as it soaks up the nutrients, right? As you're fed the Word of God. Personally, not just here, not just at all the Bible studies, but you should be coming. As you're taking it in personally. As you're applying it to your life, that tree grows, and then fruit grows on it. And then it feeds others. And then the seeds from that fruit produce more fruit. Isn't that true? That's what God wants for your life. He doesn't want you just to grow fruit that you have for yourself. Okay, Mark, your hand was up first.
I read that, and I see where it produced this kind of fruit. But those aren't things you can see like you can see oranges and apples and other things. However, it is something that when it is evident, we are experiencing it in our lives. We are experiencing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. If we're not experiencing these things, then that fruit is not there. And we need to get with Christ and say, okay, I need these things. You are my peace. You are my love, my joy. I'm not experiencing it. What do I need to do to draw closer to you so that that fruit can be evident in me?
Yes, I agree with that. But it will be evident. You will be able to see it. I can see when somebody is being patient with me. I can tell. I can tell when they're not. Yes, Rebecca, go ahead.
the parable that talks about the tree will produce fruit some 30 some, yeah. I don't remember all those, one goes up to 100.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I'm one of those low producing trees. I still think that, but I was thinking that it's interesting that we don't just produce fruit or not produce fruit. We are always producing fruit, but what kind of fruit are we producing? So, you know, when I get really down and stuff, the non-believers around me, you know, they're saying, oh, look, she doesn't have peace. That she, you know, she says she's following this special God, but apparently can't give her peace. So there's always fruit. We're always manifesting fruit, so we need to be mindful of that. It's not like when we're not doing well in Christ that, oh, well, we just won't have good fruit to give people. No, we're actually giving out bad fruit.
That's why we have to remind ourselves of the source, to wash over, to be plugged into the Lord, His heart, His word, His spirit. You know, and here's John 15:4 says, and how we do that is to abide in Christ. You know, at, I don't even remember what day, let's just say Tuesday, we had this little army here. We were cleaning up the church so you guys could all come. And one of the things, we took some lockers, and there were some of these vines growing up the trees. I don't know if you see them. You know, these thick vines or whatever. I don't even know what they are. But anyway.
Vines.
What vines? Anyway. So what I will do is I can't get those vines. But what I can do is if I cut them, right, I cut them off the bottom, right, they die. And if you're cut off from the Lord, if you're not letting the Lord's word wash over you continually, if you're not seeking Him to be filled with Him, that's what's happening. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Listen, if you're struggling with being a Christian and you're not bearing fruit that you like you should, go back to the source. Lord, will you plug me into you? Will you help me to come to know you? Not Home Fellowship Church or First Baptist Church or Calvary Chapel Church or this Bible Church. To know you and to love you. Because He makes a difference in the life. It's Jesus who will make a difference in your life. I won't make a difference in your life. If I do, it's only because of who? Jesus working in and through me. Isn't that the truth? Those of you who have walked with the Lord, you know what I'm saying. Listen, he goes on to say, abiding just means following God. It means receiving from Him. It means trusting in His promises. The word in Greek is meno, and it means to not depart, to continue, to dwell in, to remain in that vine. That's where you get your nutrients from. Jesus Christ. Goes on to say this. I love this for you. Experiencing God people who took this. I am the vine, Jesus said. You are the branches. If, this is a big if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do a little bit.
Nothing.
It's all about Jesus, folks. All about Jesus. But you will bear fruit. And you know what, Rebecca, you said, yeah, I'm one of those low-producing fruits. You know, I can think that way too, but here, Amy, you're in the back of the baby. But you know, here is a neighbor. Okay, we've had these speakers out. Nathan hooked this whole thing up for us. So great to have the music out for the kids at Shepherd's Heart Christian School. So great to have the music out on Sunday. Now listen, we didn't know that these neighbors were listening to all of us, to her and us worship for a year. That they've got other family members out and they're listening and they're being blessed. Amy's probably thinking, Matt, probably never listens to me. They're like, it's so beautiful. And we come. You don't know always who's watching or if people are, but they are. All right. It also says, in that next thing, it says to bear fruit and to grow. God wants us to grow. 2 Peter says, in 3:18, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. So how do we do that, guys? How do we grow in the Lord?
Pray.
Pray, good. How else?
Read the Bible.
Read the Bible, study, yes. What else?
Accept
instruction, right, from other believers. Okay, good. Maybe those who have been walking with the Lord more than you.
Take action on what He tells you.
Take action on what He tells you, yes.
Hear the Word.
What now?
Share the word.
Share the word. All those things. Absolutely true. Nathan?
Be still.
Be still and know that He is God. Here.
Worship.
Worship Him. Mm-hmm. Do you know what we have the hardest time doing sometimes? Praying, reading the word, accepting instruction from other Christians. All the things we said! Because our flesh, obeying our flesh, doesn't want to do that. Yes? We'll bring you the mic back in there.
Sorry.
That's okay. There's no reason to be sorry at all.
Can I just get a... I don't know why this is impressed upon me. Can I just get a show of hands of people that... that the Lord has impressed upon them heavily to have a place of quiet or a place of no distraction when you're coming to meet with Him. Okay, look, not to be rude to anybody, but these are all older people. And that's cool. That means they have wisdom. That means they have wisdom. Listen. This is something that I think us young people need to learn from. This is something that's really, really been important for us in my heart. In this world of my generation, 30 and below, 35 and below, we are so bombarded by Facebook. Like, there is internet, phone, you know, music. There's so much stuff totally distracting us at every moment of the day on our phone that's like with us in our pocket all the time. That something the Lord is continually reminding me when I'm starting to freak out or get stressed or worried or annoyed with people is He's like in returning and rest. Like, get into a quiet place at least once a day with me. Make sure that you connect, and then when you start getting stressed, share it. Say, Lord, I need you to be with me here in this moment. Or, Lord, give me grace. Lord, help me to quiet my heart with you. Because for me as a Christian, from years ago, I used to always wonder, how do I connect with Jesus? How do I do this practically? Right? And I think that Rebecca is really good about asking, okay, what does that look like practically? But you see a lot of really strong people in the Lord, and they all raise their hands. Like, that's something the Lord's impressed on us, that we need to kind of step away from the world calls us to be distracted all the time and just find a quiet place. I mean, honestly, even if it's in your bathroom, you have to shut the kids out for a minute. To just shut the noise out, shut the distractions, and just connect with the Lord. And it's really impressed on my heart, so I would encourage you guys to do that.
Yeah, right back there. And that, you know what? Honestly, that's where you would find me this morning at about 6 a.m. I'm hidden in my bathroom on the floor. Lisa will know. I got my computer. I got my Bible. And I'm just all... They come in. The kids come in. Give me a hug on the bathroom floor. It's the only place I can... I got two barriers. I got two doors. Eric, go ahead, Stanley.
The fruit, the children that we have is a big part of the fruit off the tree, and they're very special. I think all the children are very special. It's a big piece of fruit falling off the tree, and we can teach them right. That fruit will have the seeds like you're talking about and have better fruit until we get to the ultimate tree. But yeah, that's my opinion on that.
I hear your heart. And yes, we can either be giving them good fruit or bad fruit. Yes, Gary, you have been raising your hand as well. Sorry, we're going to get the mic. So in case you didn't notice, we let people speak here.
I completely agree with Natalie. We all should have a place. I've been blessed to have a place for years. We need to remember, too, that that's not the only place we can connect with the Lord.
Yes.
And that, you know, I have two places at home, but if I'm at work or in my car or
driving,
whatever,
yes.
That, yeah, those places work too. You know, it says pray continually. Yes. And that, but we, Natalie's right, though. We all should have that place. Yes.
But listen, this is foundational. If you're new to the faith or whatever, or young in the Lord, listen, 1 Peter 2:2 says, newborn babies, desire the pure, sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow up in your salvation. That's a big thing. Hebrews 5:13-14 says this. And you have to, now for those of you who are younger and you're drinking the milk of the Word, basic things, you've got to get into the meat of the Word. You've got to be reading chapters and verses and getting them into your heart. It says, for someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what's right. Solid food is for the mature. Listen, if you're just coming to Bible studies and getting fed and that's all, you're missing out. You want audio books on teachings, we'll give them to you. If you want helps for to take, so you can take stuff home, commentaries to how to apply things to your life, we'll give you those things. We just want you to grow and produce fruit. We'll help you with that. Just ask, and it will be given. We want to do that. It says solid food is for the mature, those who by training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Yes, sir.
On the going back to that grace too, growing in grace and with look, I just think it's neat that grace is coming before the knowledge. I think with that grace, there's so much freedom that the Lord's given to us through that. That's how we're justified, is by His grace. And when with Amy, when she prayed earlier today, that the sin that we've done in our past, you know, He's paid that ransom, He's paid that debt for us. And with that grace, there's so much freedom. And sometimes you get bogged down when we don't grow in His grace and realize how free we are. Oftentimes you jump to the knowledge and want to be that super kind of fake Christian. I got all the knowledge in the world, but so weighed down by so many different things. And I love how that grace is first, that we are completely free in Him.
Yes.
And are able
that
to
brings
use.
Peace.
That brings peace, yeah.
I'm so glad you said that, because that's a perfect segue. Okay, we've got through one verse, so we're troubled. Okay. No, actually, we haven't even got through the verse. It says, bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing since the day you heard it and understood it. Listen, and that's so true, what Josh is saying. Listen, the scripture says this in Romans chapter 10. If you want to get saved, it says faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ. But a lot of times, right now, we've got the word everywhere. We've got it on audio and on radio and on print. I mean, you want it, you can get it. We got Bible studies all the time. You can get it anytime you want. But it says here, hearing and understanding the grace of God. let me give you a little, because it's more than just hearing with our ears. I'm not going to turn that for time's sake, but James chapter 1 verse 22 says that God wants us to be doers of the word and not just hearers only who deceive ourselves. A lot of times, right, you can come and hear everything I'm saying. Oh, yeah, Jesus, abide in Him. Yeah, righteous, holy, living. Right, we're all with you. Yeah, and then get out of here and say, what did he say? Oh, sorry. What did he say? Something about God or something? What? Who cares? Right? I wasn't listening. Right? I was thinking about, you know, Cracker Barrel, Nintendo. I was thinking about cleaning the roof. Right? You know what I'm saying? We need to apply it in our hearts and lives. Otherwise, we're deceiving ourselves. It says, He wants you to hear and understand. That word understand in the Greek is epignosko. And that means, I spelled it wrong, but anyway, it means to understand or to know fully, to know intimately or to recognize. So He wants you to hear the word, but to know it fully, to apply it to your life, to follow it, to be an action in your life, right? To be recognized, right? Jesus used it in that same word here in a negative way in Matthew 7:20 when He was talking about the wolves and sheep's clothing that come in, or the people who bear bad fruit. He said, yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can know people. Same word as right here, understand people by their actions. Matthew 7:20. Okay? He goes on to say, verse 7, you learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant. Epaphras learned it from Paul while he was in Ephesus in the book of Acts, chapter 19, verses 9 and 10. Got saved and then brought it back to Colossae, to his town. And they call him a dear fellow servant. There's no jealousy. How many of you guys have been in ministry for a while or have been around churches where you've seen a lot of jealousy in ministry? Raise your hands. My gosh, yes, it's terrible! What are we being jealous for? Listen, somebody on the Thursday night Bible study wanted to record Mark reading Psalm 91. It was such an amazing time, and they wanted to record them. I'm like, yeah, I could, nobody recorded me. I see a lot of really great stuff. I see them record me. I really like that. You know, Gary's had some amazing stuff that he has said in those Bibles. And then people say, yeah, I really was blessed by Gary and this time he spent with me in prayer. And praise the Lord. I'm not thinking Gary getting all the people like him better. Or Tom, what a great servant. You know, what? Somebody said something about Tom last week, Thursday night. What an incredible servant he is. What a blessing. I'm not sitting here thinking, going, Tom, I can serve better than he. I can serve rings around him. No, of course, wouldn't that be silly? But that's what we do. That's our flesh. Instead, I'm thinking, praise God for Tom. Praise God for Gary. Praise God for Mark. Praise God for Josh. Praise God for Amy. Faithful. You know what I'm saying? Praise God for Josh leading the troops over. You know, praise God for those things. I want more of that. If there's anything we can do to help you and encourage you to teach better or whatever, that's what we want to do, or to serve better, right? Praise God. So he goes on to say, you learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. So you're seeing the fruit of love. Verse 9 says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. And I love that. There's such a power in prayer. This verse here in, go back one real quickly. In 1 Samuel 12:23, Samuel the prophet said, he was talking about his people. He said, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by not praying for you. Are you praying for your wife? Are you praying for your kids? Your grandkids? How about the people here in this body? God called you here for a reason. I would be praying for those around you. So much more is going on in their hearts and lives than we know of. Isn't that true? Our children, like Stanley was saying, need to be in prayer. So he doesn't even know these people. And he's like, I've not stopped praying for you. Oh, I love that. And I've not stopped asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And I like that. I watched some people today. I'm asking God. That's how we do it. We ask God. The people that Jesus complimented the most in the Bible, ones that came to him humbly. You know, we can go boldly through the throne room, Scripture says, right? But let me tell you, he is not your leeway to get your will done. You ask him. He's the king of the universe, right? You ask him. If my kid came to me, I love my kids. And I love to do cool stuff for them. Don't let me forget that page. I love to do cool stuff for them. I love to take them for ice cream or stuff like that. I love it if they would ask me. But I don't like when they ask for video games. Okay, so that one thing. But I love them when they ask stuff. Okay, but if they were to come to me and say, Dad, we would love to spend time with you. We'd love to go out for some ice cream. Would you keep? I would be like, yeah, let's go. Hop on the car, let's go to AQ. Okay, yes. Now, if my kids came to me and said, Dad, I'm your son, and I'm claiming the promise that you love me, and so you need to go and get me some ice cream right now, and I claim it right now, and you need to go get it because you love me right now. You think, as a loving father, I would give my son ice cream? Chances are, depending on how big he was, my sons, he'd be getting a discipline. Because that's not the right heart attitude I want to have. You know, so we need to remember we're asking God. You know, sometimes we don't even do that. James 4:3 says, you don't have what you want because you don't ask God. Sometimes you're not getting stuff because you're not going to him. You're not asking your Heavenly Father for stuff. And then sometimes when you do ask, it says, you don't get it because your motives are wrong. You want only what will please you, what will give you pleasure. See, we want to be doing his will, the Bible says, right here in Colossians. It says, asking that God that will fill you the knowledge of his will. Sometimes we think, I want God to bless the situation that I'm doing. No, it's his will that we want to get done. God's word says in 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. It might not be according to his will that this or that happens. You have to trust him either way. That's maturity in Christ. All right, it goes on to say, and we pray this in order that, and here's the why. Why am I praying this? Why? Is it so that you could have, get all this wisdom and understanding so that you could be a big shot and know all this stuff and be all cool? Or no, I'm doing this so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. And here's the reason. So that you can have lots of money. So you can have a big church. So you can have a big following. No, it doesn't say those things. It says so that you can have great endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father. You know who's affected us the most through this hurricane? The people who had great endurance, right, and patience in it, who were joyfully giving thanks to the Father. Regardless, some of us have gone through some hard times. Some of us don't even have power yet. Some of our wonderful young lady still doesn't have power yet. Some of you don't have it. Giving thanks, you're at church anyway. Giving praise, worshiping with us, right? People with their roofs ripped off. Praise the Lord. How can we help others? You know what? Folks with damage to their home, they don't even have a place to sleep right now, are delivering meals to other folks in the body. Right now. Here. Wonderful. What a testimony. It's the endurance. Those are the things that God... You know, there's two things. Corey Ten Boom said this. This was really a cool thing. But this, if you want to know what to pray, pray these things for your kids. Pray these things for your family. But we have to remember, is prayer, Corey Ten Boom says, prayer your steering wheel? Is that what you go to? Or is it your spare tire? Do you only rely on it when things are bad? You know what I mean? Hey, hurricane's coming. Now I'll pray! You know? How about all beforehand?
How about after?
How about after? How about during? Sorry, give me a minute, Ben. Right now, we live in a time where everybody quits everything. He's praying these things so that you will have power, so that you will have endurance. We serve this generation, all these generations, the biggest group of runners I've ever seen in my whole life. Now, I'm not necessarily pointing a finger at you because I'm also pointing it at me. You know? Lord? Yeah. Jeremiah 17:6, Lord, I've not run away from being your shepherd for your people. Sometimes it's hard. If you're in ministry, you want to run. I want to go to just another church. I want to just go to another this ministry. I want to go to another place. I want to go just to my home and watch TV, you know. Don't run. Endure. I want to run from my job. How many people of you know, oh, the Lord has given me this job. I just knew it, so I'm leaving this job. And then 6 months later, oh, this job is terrible. I didn't know this job, but the Lord is bringing me to this job. And they go from job to job, or they go from relationship to relationship, school to school, person to person. They run. It's so sad. God wants us to have endurance. Listen, you guys remember this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How many remember this? Logan's remember. Okay. Logan's run. I kind of created a little nickname for folks when they do that. Christians, when they're runners. Runner! That was one of the things in Logan's run. They call them runner! And they run from everything. Are you a runner or an endurer? C.S. Lewis said, hardships often prepare ordinary people for an extraordinary destiny. Listen, right now, you have an opportunity. Minister to your friends and neighbors, your kids, right now. The doors are open for you to bring Jesus to them. Listen, endurance. Romans 5, 3 to 4. Suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And that's assurance. And that hope doesn't disappoint us. God's word says this. Let us run with endurance the race set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the starter and the finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. James 1, 2 to 4 says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. He doesn't want you to be a wimp anymore. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete." Another translation says, "mature and complete, not needing anything." That's what God's goal is, for you to be mature. Patience, Hebrews 10:36 says, "Patience, endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that's promised." And we'll close out with this. Mark, can you just come up here for a second? It goes on to say, "giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light." Grab a seat, Mark. No pressure. "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." This thing, he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. But you realize it or not, if you're not in Christ, you are in sin. You are a slave. The picture here is a slave being bought from that slave market and freed. That's what Jesus brings. It's not like, oh, now I can't do this, now I can't do that. Oh, my goodness. That sin, the wages of that sin brings death. It brings pain and destruction of your life. It might be pleasurable for a season. Guaranteed, it's going to leave you pain. Much pain and regret and damage and destruction. But Jesus has come to give you life and to give it to you abundantly. That's our God. Amen?
Amen.
And let's be thankful people. Where's somebody stop right here? Okay, so we didn't get through. But Mark, here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to take a minute. I know in Christ is something that's near and dear to your heart. I also know you can talk a lot like me, so be careful. But I want you to say, just close this out. I don't care how you do it. Close this out and then just pray. And then we'll be dismissed. Does that sound good? All right. You good with that? All right, let's sit down then. I'm not going to talk anymore.
Really? Yesterday, I was spending some quiet time with the Lord in Colossians, and it happened to be in 11 through 14. I didn't know Darren was going to ask me to do this morning, but there was something very special that he showed me, and I want to share that, because I asked him, I said, "Lord, I'd really like to share that with the body, and I don't know how we're going to do that," but he knew that, and he told Darren to invite me up, and he did, and here's what he said. In verse 11, "strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience joyously, giving thanks to the Father who qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." And when I stopped at the end of verse 12, he asked me a question. He said, "Mark, what part of that is your self-effort required for?" I said, "None, other than for me to surrender to you to allow you to do your work in my heart so that I can share with other people and allow Jesus to do that." And I asked him, I said, "Lord, what..." The word inheritance, we hear that a lot. And in order for an inheritance to be enjoyed, someone has to die. And Christ died for us so that we could have an inheritance. The unique thing about our inheritance in Him, and we have to be in Him, is that He lives in us so that we can share that with other people. And I said, well, what does that look like, Lord? Show that to me. And he said, turn to John 13 and go to verse 13 and I'll show you. And he said, you call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash others' feet. For I give you an example that you should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, neither is one who sent greater than the one who sent him. Here it is. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Our inheritance is that Jesus wants to share his life with others through us. And the easiest way for me to explain that is to tell you what happened last Saturday and Sunday when the hurricane was coming. The Lord said, through a brother, you need to get in your coach and get out of here as far as you can. Well, we got to about 10 miles north of Tampa. And because I was listening to the Lord, he says, I want you to pull off right here into this rest stop. Now, these rest stops that had recently been built by the state of Florida were built to withstand Cat 5 hurricanes. I had no idea. All I heard was, pull off here. And I did. And what happened was amazing, because I went in, you know, Debbie and I got everything set up, and then I went in to the rest area for a moment, and all of a sudden, I saw this lady who was leaning up against a wall, and she was very fragile, and I could tell she was panic-stricken, and the Lord said, go over to her and comfort her, and I did, and I put my arm around her and I asked her if it was okay if I helped you to come over here and sit down. And another lady came up on the other side and she looked at me and she says, I'll get her other side. And when we got her over to the bench, the Lord spoke to my heart and he said, put your hand on her back, because she couldn't breathe and I didn't know that. So I put my hand on her back and I said, ma'am, I want you to know one thing. Jesus is here. And you're going to be okay. Well, a sense of peace came about that whole situation. Her daughter got there with her breathing apparatus, and this was, you know, it all worked out well. Well, Sunday morning, Debbie and I decided that because we had good luck at Flying J's, we would get in the coach and go a few more miles, fill up the coach, and wait it out there. Well, guess what? That wasn't God's plan. Flying J was closed. So I talked to Debbie and she says, well, let's turn around and go south. And we'll go back to the same rest stop. I said, okay. Well, we stayed at the rest stop on the southbound side, which was empty. Because everybody's heading north and we're heading south. So we pulled into this rest stop and there was two trucks in the parking lot, two 18-wheelers, and we parked beside them because we knew we were going to ride out to storm and we inside. Well, we were sitting there, and all of a sudden, this one lady came in, and she was a believer, and she and I had an opportunity to talk about the grace of God and the wonder of God and who He is and His magnificence, and we were both extremely blessed by it, and there was no commotion around us because we're on the southbound side. And about 3 hours later, there was this young lady came into that rest stop and she was absolutely terrified. I walked up and she says, can you help me? I said, what's going on? She said, I'm by myself. I have my animals in the car. I don't know what I'm going to do. I was with my boyfriend and he and his uncle got in a fight and the police came and they arrested him, and now I'm out here all by myself. I said, I can help you. I said, but the thing I want you to know first is that Jesus is here, and everything's going to be okay. And it was. But the reality is, I wasn't depending on me. I was depending on him to speak to me about what he wanted to do and how he wanted to minister to other people. That's what it means to be in Christ. To allow him to speak to your heart and then to expect that he is going to minister to other people through you. We are his hands. We are his feet. We are his eyes and ears. We are his voice. But we have to do two things. We have to be willing and obedient. We have to listen for him. It's a small, quiet, in my case, it's a small, quiet voice on the inside that says, turn off here. Go talk to this lady over here. Go say this. Make this happen. That's in Christ. It's not in Mark. It's not in my strength. It's not in what I can do or how great he has made me. It isn't about me. It's about him. And the minute it gets to be about me, it's a disaster. But when it's about him, it's awesome. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for the hurricane that blew through here. And I pray, Lord, that none of us return to normal. Yes. That there be a new normal in our lives. And that new normal is that you are the preeminent one. Not one of many, but the one and only. Because when you are number one, everything else works out okay. I thank you for your love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. I thank you that it abides in all of us. And Lord, may we start to seek you for who you are. Not for what you can do for us. May we be in love with the Savior, not just salvation. May we seek the giver, not the gift. May we love you, Lord, for who you are, not for what you can do. And Lord, I also pray that each of us would love each other for who we are, not for what we can do for each other. Because as we get older, those things change. We can't do as much as we used to do or what we used to do. But who we are, in essence, has gotten greater because you in us has gotten greater. So help us to love each other with no expectation of anything in return, because that is true unconditional love, and that is love from you. Lord, I thank you for your holy written word. I thank you that it teaches us and shows us the way. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us and shows us and teaches us and lives with us. And I thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I pray that this week, each of us would fall more in love with you. It is in Christ's name we pray.